It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Big weekend here at Treasure Island. Big weekend in Las Vegas. F1. This is Treasure Island right on one of the turns, right on the Las Vegas Strip. Free parking. Garage was pretty empty when I came in. Might be a little more jammed coming up, but it's actually pretty easy to get in here. You got F1 in town. You got UNLV football tonight at Allegiant against Hawaii. I know the Hawaiians are going to show up. We'll see what the Rebel crowd looks like. I hope it's a big, robust crowd. Last week it was really freaking loud, really good against Utah State. And then all the celebrities, I think, are headed to town once the Jets at the Executive Airport are headed out with all the rich people from F1. Maybe there's going to be a bunch more, Willie, coming in to watch Shador Sanders. We'll get back into Shador and the Raiders and maybe the – it's not maybe. I think there is some dissenting opinions battling in Raiders camp about what they want to do offensively, what they want to do from a playing time standpoint. Let's get to it. Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
So, Willie, I'm checking out one of the tournaments in action tonight down here at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. And that is Northwestern and Virginia going at it. I've had a chance to watch Arizona a little bit. I've been blown away by the schedule that Alabama is playing. And by the way, Alabama UNLV on Tuesday. So if you want to see a game that's going to go up and down the floor, get your tickets for the players era. Have you watched Arizona? And did you get a look at the UConn game the other night?
I loved Arizona in that game. Had them. Won outright. Watched them in person, obviously, in their season opener here against Florida. I'm highly impressed with how this team composes itself collectively. You know, it's being led by a freshman, by the way, Koa Pete. And overall, though, this is just a well-balanced team that plays to the level of the competition in terms of, you know, the Florida game, it was high-scoring, 93-87. Utah Tech, it blew out, as it should. Northern Arizona blew out. Goes to Inglewood. De facto home team is UCLA. Slower pace. Old Pac-12 rival, 69-65. Guts out a defensive battle. And then goes across the country and beats UConn. And in reality, you're talking about, you know, it's not as if it's a flashy offense either. It ranks 144th in the nation, which is pretty much in the middle. It's in the upper tier, but it's somewhat in the middle of, what, 360-some-odd college basketball teams. 82 points per game, but it's outscoring its opponents by 15 points per game, holding teams to 67 points. So I'm just really impressed with the chemistry, the communication. And here's the thing, Steve. The team has scored in the 90s twice, 84 or more three times. Just mentioned 82 points per game. You know where it ranks on three-pointers per game? 332nd. It makes 5.6. Wow. But you know how much? You know where it ranks attempts per game? 358th, almost last. It only shoots 15 threes a game. So it's not even relying on the long ball. They're finding high percentage shots. It's a mid-range jumping team. A lot of driving. Very good basketball team. I would have to say right now, with wins over Florida, UCLA, and UConn, this is the best team in the country.
Interesting story on the bench as well. Two players you may have heard of. One is Jackson Francois. The other is Bryce James, LeBron's son. LeBron Desiree son. Reed Francois' son, Jackson, who we got to know when he was a lanky kid growing up here as a, whatever he was, 14 or 15 years old. He's a walk-on on the team. And Bryce James looks like he's, yeah. Oh, you did? How was DRF?
She was fantastic. She was ready to go pull some strings for me because we were hoping to get somebody in specific in the post game, and I ran up to her real quick when Florida left the press conference room. I was like, hey, not sure how many they're bringing in, but in case, she goes, I got you, whatever you need.
Really?
Sure.
Look at you. What the hookup, the hooks, the connections.
DRF and I are we're tight.
Your pals. Number three.
Number three.
Willie, MVP and Offensive Player of the Year are different things.
They are.
A running back apparently can never be the MVP anymore in the National Football League. I think Johnny Taylor and Chris McCaffrey have been as valuable as anyone in this league to this point in the season. Do you believe JT is going to get any sort of award? Probably not the MVP, though.
I don't think he's going to get MVP, but I wouldn't be mad if he was nominated or in the conversation for Offensive Player of the Year. He leads the league with 1,139 yards. He leads the league with 15 touchdowns. He leads the league with 58 first downs on the ground. He leads the league with the longest run from scrimmage, 83 yards. He leads the league in yards per attempt, 6.0. He leads the league. He's the only running back averaging triple figures per game, 113.9 yards per game. He just turned in a career high and franchise record, 286 scrimmage yards, 244 on the ground, and three rushing touchdowns in Berlin. The only NFL player in NFL history to record four games with at least three rushing touchdowns through the first 10 weeks of a season. Four games, three touchdowns through the first 10 weeks of the season. So, tell me why he shouldn't be in the conversation for Offensive Player of the Year.
You got no argument for me. Like I said, I started out the conversation saying these guys should be considered for MVPs. I don't know why we're devaluing what a running back does. Clearly, he's been a massive part of the turnaround. Yeah, Danny Dimes is good, but a lot of the help is from Jonathan Taylor. I'll give you the other world where Jonathan Taylor is absolutely the MVP and probably the difference maker is fantasy football. If you've got him, like I do in one league, it's sink or swim. When he doesn't play, it's a disaster. He had a bye last week, but when he plays and he plays well, man, he has been crushing in fantasy. Number two.
Number two.
Okay, Matt Stafford. We're talking MVP. Yep. Matt Stafford at 100 years old is still playing really, really, really well for the Rams, and that's a big part of why the Rams are the best team in the NFC. I don't know where you have them ranked, but Matt Stafford's a big part of it.
He is, and this was we talked about this 1 week ago today. Should he be who's the favorite for the MVP right now? And he's certainly deserving of that conversation. The Rams are having a really good year. I've heard many people argue them as the top team on the senior circuit. He leads the NFL with 27 touchdown passes, and he's only thrown two interceptions. That is amazing. Through week 12, in the same division as the Niners and the Seahawks, the schedule that team has played, Matthew Stafford is having one heck of a season. They play Tampa Bay this week. Stafford can join. You ready for this company? Stafford can join Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers as the only players in NFL history with at least 30 touchdown passes and five or fewer interceptions in their team's first 11 games of a season. The key there is the five or fewer. What that means is that to join Brady, Mahomes, and Rodgers, the reason that company is elite is because they've thrown five or fewer through the first 11. At this point, Stafford's only throwing two.
So we're talking Rams. We just got done talking Colts. Let's go with these games here. Colts and Chiefs. If you have to play, what are you doing? Rams, check that. Chiefs, 3.5.
I'm playing the Chiefs because they are – because the trajectory of both of these teams is in the opposite direction. Right? Even though I know the Chiefs have lost their last two. But the last two, one was in Buffalo, and I know I just got done ragging on Buffalo. Then they go on a bye week, and they did lose at Denver, which – is the first place team, and some are asking, is this the best? I know, you know, last Friday we were debating whether or not this team is legit or not, but at some point you have to stop asking if a team is legit. So since opening the season 0-2, Kansas City has been in an upward trajectory. It's won 5 of 8. The Colts started off strong, and that was a team that we were asking if it was legit. It's 8-2, but I think it's shown some flaws in its defense the last two games. Steelers put 27 up on them in a win. They needed overtime to beat the Falcons. They do come off a bye week, but this game's in Kansas City. I'm leaning on the Chiefs.
You want to lay 6.5 with the Rams taking on the Buccaneers? Because I'm on the Bucs.
Yeah, I'm not confident in laying the points in that one. I think Mayfield's very scrappy. It's a tough ask to cover that number against the Buccaneers, who are clinging to first place, 6-4 in the NFC South. They're desperate, and I think I think the books are begging you to lay the points because Tampa Bay's lost to New England and in Buffalo. But they threw 32 on Buffalo in Buffalo. They lost by 5 at home to New England. So let's not forget this team went to Seattle and won 38-35. Beat Houston 20-19.
Cardiac Baker Mayfield, always right in the game. Top story.
Number one.
Much needed dominant performance last night for the Golden Knights in a 2-of-3 set. They're actually playing the Mammoth early in the week. 4-1, but what was the story of the game, Willie?
Well, there were a couple of stories of this game. I mean, Jack Eichel certainly had a game. That, for me, is a big story because he had been shut out for a while. Braden Bowman scores again.
Man,
this kid, it's as if you just picked him. I mean, I don't know how to explain it because his play style fits right in the mold of Mark Stone. Okay? I mean, and that's who he's seemingly replaced in on the power play, down on the goal line. On that line. So Jack Eichel with 2 goals in the second period. Bowman with his 3rd goal in the 3rd period. So for me, it was that. But for the fans and for the, you know, for the drama, I was about to say a phrase that someone might take offense to. But for the drama people out there, it was the umpteen penalties in a fight-filled game. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 roughing penalties, 1 unsportsmanlike, 2 fighting. Heavy, heavy, heavy penalties on the roughing and the fighting. Brett Howden from the Golden Knights with an unsportsmanlike conduct. Kolasar and McBain got into it in the 3rd period for fighting. I had to catch up on highlights and read about it because I was downtown last night at a little speakeasy.
Swanky affair.
It was actually pretty cool place.
Happy hour's happening right now here at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. It's 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. $5 on the draft beers, and that's good for Saturday and Sunday. And reminder, we'll be here on Saturday back at 9 o'clock, 9 to 11. Heavy, heavy college football show with Throw the Flag. Alex White will be in with me, Steve Cofield, as we take you through the morning of college football and preview the rest of the day on the college gridiron.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Where, oh, where is Arash Markazi? Usually in L.A., sometimes in Vegas, sometimes in Hawaii, but I think he's been on the East Coast for a while. Arash from the Sporting Tribune joins us here on a special Friday, a football Friday. What's up, Arash?
What's up? How are you guys?
Where are you?
I'm a Las Vegas Strip getting ready for Formula One, you know, big Las Vegas Grand Prix happening this weekend.
Dude, I'm so confused. Because I saw that you were in New York like most of the week. I didn't realize you were here. You could have probably, where are you on the strip? We're at Treasure Island. You could have just walked over here.
Probably could have. I'm at the Flamingo. I did the 1 year where I actually covered it properly, and like no one cares about that. Like, they want to know, like, they want to know, like, the blank storm, like, you know, the potholes and how to watch it without buying a ticket and stuff like that. So I'm basically doing that.
Very, very, I'm highly, highly is better than very. I'm highly disappointed that you didn't join me last night for where I told you about, because let me tell you, you, me, and the wife have to go down there. I may have met future Mrs. Ramirez, by the way.
Whoa.
No.
This is huge, huge news today on the show. This
Scratch
is massive.
The spot. Yeah, anything you guys want to talk about.
My goodness. What a spot, though. Fantastic vibes, the food, prices. I'm not giving away the spot, though. I'm not telling anybody what the spot was.
That's your spot?
Yeah, it's going to be my spot.
We know, Arash. It must be good because Willie probably walked in and was like, I'll take this right now. This is what you're going to whip up for me. Let's go.
I hadn't sat down for 10 seconds, and the girl was right up on me. She said, what can I get for you? What do you want? And within
That's awesome.
A minute, I had my water, my diet soda, and within 5 minutes I didn't order food, but the people I went with had food on the table. The spread was incredible. But so, I can tell you, as I've confirmed, I did say something, whisper something into someone's ear as I was leaving, leaving it out there, and I will go back to see her.
Holy moly.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
That sounds great. Arash, you're actually doing a staycation. I saw the rooms at the Flamingo were $8 the other night. Did you stay?
Yeah, no. So I didn't stay last night just because it was practice. But I'm staying at the Flamingo tonight, you know, just for the practice run. And, we'll see what kind of stories I get. Again, I think everyone's so fascinated by the LVCVA totally bending over backwards or bending over whichever way for this race. I mean, listen, if Vegas did it properly and they built a proper course out in wherever, but the fact that they've, like, hijacked the strip is ridiculous. Unfortunately, it's going to continue for the foreseeable future. The interest level in this race has totally waned, though. Like, it's so interesting as I'm working on the story. Like, you know, listen, when they did the deal, everyone was watching, like, you know, Drive to Survive, and, like, the TV numbers for, like, F1 were up. Like, it's totally plateaued. They're leaving ESPN. It's not even going to be on ESPN in the future. It'll be on Apple TV. It makes no sense. But it's a fun story. I've been kind of covering it since they've been here. And, again, the 1 year where I covered it properly with a credential, like, nobody cares. Like no one cares about the race. They want to know what's happening on the streets.
Well, and here's the thing. Remember, this is a 10-year contract with the county, guaranteed three. This is the third year. This is the big decision. The one thing, and some of the people I was with last night, they work on the strip. One person works at a bar literally right in front of a casino. Steve and I have talked about this, considering our Monday night show at Ellis, is that in their favor, they've perfected the setup and the breakdown, the construction of the track, and everything they do. The first year is what everyone's going on is like, well, it's an inconvenience, or the people it's inconveniencing now are basically the people that work on the strip. But for everything else, they perfected the setup, the construction, and the breakdown of the F1 track. The question is whether or not it's bringing in enough revenue and it's worth it for the county to continue to bring it in.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be worth it because, I'm not just saying this because it's low-hanging fruit. For, like, the LVCVA, like, this is their moment to shine. I mean, this is their moment to wine and dine with, you know, people from around the world. It gives them a business excuse to go to, like Abu Dhabi and Monte Carlo to see, like, what they do at those races. You know, so this will continue. So, yes, this was a key moment. They've already extended it another 2 years. From everyone that I've talked to, like, this will be extended for the full 10. Like, it's just, but you're right to a certain extent, Willie, but the issue is still, you know, what it does to the strip. Now, again, the people who support it will say, listen, this is normally during a downtime of year, you know, the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, obviously this helps tourism. But what we've seen so far, there is not this big rush. Again, this helps about a handful of casinos. You can see who's got the activations, whether it's Wynn, Caesars, or MGM. But for every other casino, for every other establishment, it has really hurt them. So, no, I mean, I hate to say it like this, the LVCVA and the folks who make the decision don't care about them. They think that this is a great, you know, they're always going to point towards how much that they make. But unfortunately, this isn't a Super Bowl, right? Like, this isn't, you know, you watch ESPN. Like, no one's talking about the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Like, it's just, it does not move the needle. So I'm against it as a quasi-local, but as someone who, like, has heard from locals. But you're right, Willie. I think if you don't like it, you have, like, also perfected, you know, not going through the Strip this week from you know, Thursday to Sunday. Like, you're not going to go on the Strip.
Rosh Markazi, the Sporting Tribune, is with us. He's just down the Strip. I'm here at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sports Bar. He's over at the Flamingo. You spent a good amount of time in New York. What was the highlight of the trip? It looked like you went to a ton of sporting events.
No, it was great. It was one of those, like, fun weekends where, like, I went with the Wooden Award, and Willie has done such a great job helping me kind of cover some of the history. We're going up on the 50th anniversary of the awards. It was a great weekend. It was UFC on Saturday, John Cena's last time on Raw on Monday, and then the Champions Classic, which saw Duke versus Kansas and Kentucky versus Michigan State. So it was a great weekend. It was a great weekend. New York, by the way, like, the weather was great. Like, while it was pouring rain in Vegas and Los Angeles, not that it was warm, but it was about like 55 and sunny in New York. So it was really great.
Where do you stay? Do you stay right in Midtown Manhattan? Or you have a spot you like to stay that's outside the tourist district?
I like the financial district now. That's like my new thing, because you'll get cheaper rates, you'll get good Italian food and red wine, as you guys know I like. And listen, New York is one of those towns that, because of public transit, it doesn't really matter where you're at. So, you know, as I expense this trip, I'm like, hey, listen, I could probably get a hotel for like less than $200 a night. So, yeah, no, I'm not in Times Square.
I thought, for some reason, I don't know, I thought you were in the Tony Soprano suite at the Plaza.
I know. I wanted to be there, but that was not the case.
You talk about the Wooden Award. We have some extensive coverage coming up in the Sporting Tribune, because USC just named Jazzy Davidson. No. Who did they name as a Wooden Award watch? Was it Jazzy?
It is Jazzy.
And UCLA has four.
They have four. And I think we're going to be at the players' era. Isn't that true? Or at least,
And I'll be covering the players' era. And we have a mate. So last week we did some stuff on Charlize Ledger Walker, and we had a presence out there.
Right.
And this week, working on a major project. The video will be up on YouTube. The story will be out. Revisiting with Kiki Rice, who we interviewed her freshman year at the Pac-12 tournament, and the reason that she wanted to go to UCLA, crossing the entire country, her hometown of Maryland, bypassing the likes of UConn, South Carolina, Tennessee, Iowa, you name it, to go to UCLA. She said in the Sporting Tribune, I want to be the first person to bring a national championship to Westwood. So now we're talking.
By the way.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I was talking to a couple of scouts in New York at the Champions Classic, and they said this tournament, not tournament, but players higher up, it is already the biggest in-season, you know, tournament event, whatever, but it's only going to grow. I mean, this is the, you know, you have all these different events, you know, in Hawaii and the Bahamas or whatever. This players era is only going to grow. From all the scouts that I talked to, they like Vegas. They like having a central location where they're both at the MGM Grand or Mandalay Bay. This event is going to continue to grow.
Arash, the biggest story in your neck of the woods, and we only got like 30 seconds to hit this, so give me what you can, but the bus boys, and you know what, I actually didn't even know Joey and Jesse were actually more of Dr. Jerry's kids, but unceremoniously booted out, and my take yesterday was like, yeah, they're probably not doing anything, but there's a lot of people who say they actually were pretty good basketball guys.
No, listen, they have been great. They have been a great scout. Like, if you look at the job that they've done, yes, it is nepotism, no doubt about it. However, if you look at their track record with scouting and drafting, they've been amazing. The great thing about Mark Walter coming in and Andrew Friedman coming in as an advisor, all of this nonsense, all of this petty nonsense is behind us. Now, listen, it's not behind us now because Jeannie Buss is still in charge, technically the governor. But, Steve, it is embarrassing for a franchise of this stature to be going through nonsense like this. So at least with Mark Walter in charge, this is hopefully in the rearview mirror.
Damn, Arash, no mercy for poor Jesse and Joey, but they'll be okay. They've got some company they're starting up.
They were great. They were very good. Yeah, they'll be fine.
All right, stay warm out there on the strip, and I hope you have a good time, man. You're so down on this thing. Get out of here. Go have fun. Enjoy
okay,
it.
I'll try.
Hobnob.
I'll try.
That's Arash's thing. It's the hobnob. It's the ultimate hobnob event. Come on, Arash. All right, we'll come back.
All right, guys.
We're about 13 minutes away from talking to Chuck Esposito. We go behind the counter with the boss at SDN.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
I like that Willie stood up for Vegas on cleaning things up a little bit with the roads, that they have gotten better with F1 and the county. Got guys like Arash, all they want to concentrate on is a negative.
Yeah, it's a... I mean, that's the thing I've noticed. Getting, yeah. You know, just especially leading up to the shows this year on Mondays is just, you know, I mean, they get it. And last year, where in collapsing everything and putting everything back together.
Yep. And listen, it sucks when you work on the strip. It is an incredible hassle. It does suck. But Arash's comments on the popularity of F1 and maybe the popularity of the race for locals, I also think there's something else we can't quantify. And I'm sure LVCVA puts out numbers on this. This is another one of those events that is beamed to the world and is basically a, you know, 2+, 3+ day advertisement worldwide for Vegas. And right now we need the good pub. And I think that's kind of the main purpose of this thing, is not just some of the profits on the ground and some casinos making out well and big time gamblers coming into town, but it's what it does for us from an image standpoint and a marketing standpoint worldwide.
And it's an entirely different audience. So it may not be popular like the upcoming. Like, for instance, next week is going to be just jam-packed with Players Era college basketball fans, right?
Yep.
Super Bowl, right? They're direct target. Let's pass Monday. I got out of the car, and it was just jam-packed with Cowboys fans everywhere. I walked off the shuttle, Cowboys fans. It's not like that with F1. What it is it's its own fan base shedding light onto Las Vegas. Yeah. So it can be beneficial.
And listen, there's lots of events we have here that we don't necessarily cover as, you know, hardcore sports fans, American sports fans. I mean, have we ever covered NFR the way we should? But it's a gigantic event for Las Vegas, isn't it? And the stops here for PBR, but that's big time stuff. Just because you're not interested. I mean, we went through this with NFR. You know, some, whatever, 15, 20 years ago, where people were like, oh, they come to town, they don't tip. Like, stop. Okay, we're in a period now where basically it's 7 weeks leading up to New Year's, where the town used to be dead. We've got something. And yes, all those events can be incredible inconveniences. Like, listen, I'm on the UNLV beat, Willie. I'm sure every basketball coach has been there on the men's side and, you know, Lindy Little Rock as well. It ain't fun having to leave the Thomas and Mack for basically a month, but it's for the betterment of the city. It's for the betterment of the city, especially in that part of the calendar.
It's just built in. That's just, you become used to it, and that's the way it is. And I do get a kick out of, like you just said, about the people that complain about the different events that come in, who tips higher, who tips more. If there were no events whatsoever and you average it out, I mean, as far as, like, the people who make money in this town and some people who are just – your average Joe Schmoes. People are some middle class, what are considered to be middle class income people, are better tippers than those in higher class that make more money. It has nothing to do with the money. It all averages out into the end. You just kind of expect it. You know what to expect, and you bear with it. And that's just the way it is, because it's going to average out in the end.
We just had a woman walk up to from Denver, walk up to the show during the break, and she was like, "Hey, you're covering the event?" I'm like, "No, we're actually not really covering the event as much as we're doing our regular show here." She said she showed up year one, and she said it was just a debacle. She said we skipped last year, so they'd give them time to clean up. But she said between the tickets, the travel, just ingress, egress, trying to get to different things, it was tough, and she was hoping for a much better event this time around. And hopefully from now through Saturday, the weather holds. Because we had another guy walk up earlier, and he's like, "Is the track dry?" I'm like, I don't know. We're inside. We'll go out and check for you. We haven't seen any updates, but I assume they're trying to dry it as quickly as possible. Get on down here to the Golden Circle Sports Bar. You can check out F1. You can watch all the there's some good football games tonight, including UNLV and Hawaii. We're going to get into that game on the way back, and the NFL slate. We'll go behind the counter. The boss at the STN Sportsbook, Chuck Esposito's up.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
It's funny, I've got friends all over radio, Willie, and a lot of them do national radio. And the one thing they don't get on national is interaction with local listeners and fans. And I just had a lady named Christina walk up, and she's like, "Oh, I wanted to meet you so badly. And we're going to see our friend Cerna in the middle of the casino. They're playing jazz and some bluegrass. And, I wanted to tell you, years ago, you were taking calls for a party and you were looking for advice on appetizers." And I'm like, "Well, what were the appetizers?" So she told me about some cheese dip and artichoke dip. So that was really cool that Christina, who's been a longtime listener, is down here on F1 weekend, right? Let's go out to, I don't know where Chuck is right now. Chuck, where are you? Chuck Esposito, as we go behind the counter. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. I'm over at Red Rock right now, so all
go.
Good.
All right.
Should be a fun weekend.
Okay. I was going to make a smart remark, but I don't want to get you in trouble about Cowboys and hanging out at Red Rock. But anyway, everyone loves Red Rock. Everyone loves Red Rock.
Everyone loves
Treasure Island as well. Does everyone love Hawaii in this UNLV-Hawaii game? What are we seeing?
Well, the sharp bettors do. I mean, the game has come down to 2.5. It's juiced a little bit. But 80% of the ticket count is on UNLV. And coincidentally enough, 80% of the ticket count is on the over. It's the highest total on the board at 65.5. We know how UNLV's been as far as games going over. Some stats here. Hawaii 5-1 against the number their last six games. However, they're just 1-7 their last eight games when playing on the road against UNLV. They're only 4-16 on the road their last 20 games. UNLV, as we've talked about, a little bit of struggles against the number, just going 1-4 their last five games. But they're 13-2 straight up their last 15 games, and 6-1 straight up their last seven games at home. So we are going to be Hawaii fans when this game kicks off in a few hours.
Well, considering all those stats and numbers you just said, I'm all over Hawaii. Contrarian,
well,
going against.
We'll be rooting with you guys. Don't worry.
I think UNLV is going to have its hands full tonight. I don't trust it against this Hawaii team. So I tend to lean toward the underdog. Let's talk Sunday's games. Bears and Pittsburgh kick things off on the rotation. Bears -3.
Bears have no linebackers in this game, guys, and not sure yet about Aaron Rodgers. We know if it's bulletin board material and he's going to play, he owns the Bears. At least he says, "I own you." So I'm sure that's on every Bear locker. Game sits at 2.5 right now. We're kind of in a little bit of a holding pattern. Pittsburgh just 1-5 against the number of their last six games against the Bears. They're 1-6 against the number of their last seven games. Bears 6-2 against the number of their last eight games. They've gone under four of their last five games at home. So we'll see what happens in this one, but a lot is contingent on Rodgers playing. I think if he's not going to play and it's Mason Rudolph, you definitely see this game kick up to 3.
My Baltimore Ravens against Steve's New York Jets. Ravens 13.5 on a surge. Everybody's still thinking they can pull off the AFC North.
You know, there's been some sharp money on the dog here, guys. So we opened at 14.5. It currently sits at 13.5. Ticket favor still clearly favors the Ravens. Money still clearly favors the Ravens. No question we're going to be Jet fans. And I don't totally disagree. I think you look at the Steelers' schedule, the Ravens have a more favorable schedule. They play each other twice.
It's not going to shock me at all if the Ravens do win on the AFC North. But think about this right now. You talk about a Bills team that lost last night. The Chiefs and Ravens aren't even playoff teams right now. The Lions aren't a playoff team in the NFC. It's kind of an upside-down league right now. When you look at four of those teams that we all thought would be playing or have an opportunity to play in February, all four of those teams could be wild card teams come playoff time.
Speaking of the Lions, they've lost two of three out of the bye. They're laying double digits to the Giants.
I mean, they're one of the, you know, they're the biggest favorite on the board. Game's gone from 11.5 guys to 13. Overwhelming ticket count. We would love to get the Giants to cover somehow, at least to knock down some teasers. But we are going to be huge Giant fans on Sunday. And you look at the Lions this year so far, 3-0, off a loss. They're coming into this game off a loss.
Patriots-Bengals.
I mean, you can make a case this is one of the marquee games of the week. I mean, I think it's a fun game to watch. It looks like it's going to be Burrow. This game was as high as 8.5. We know there's no Chase here. Ticket count isn't crazy in favor of the Patriots, about 62% right now. You know, you have to wonder with the Bengals, are you putting Burrow back in a situation where, hey, you're 3-7, you're probably not going to make a run anyway. But we're going to be Bengal fans at kickoff.
Burrow comes back, that means I got to reshuffle my fantasy team.
I'm sure a lot of people do, but no Chase, so that definitely hurts.
Green Bay -5.5, or I'm not sure what the current number is with you, but against the Vikings.
Yeah, Green Bay is actually up to 6.5 right now. A ticket count clearly favors the Packers. Packers come in 6-3-1. Still some bad losses there, guys. Lost to Carolina, lost to Cleveland, tied with the Cowboys. Vikings really have had their struggles on offense and defense. Defense hasn't nearly been as dominating as last year. J.J. McCarthy has had his struggles. They're 1-4 against the number their last five games. They're 1-4 straight up their last five games. However, they are 6-3 against the number their last nine games against the Packers. Packers are just 1-7 against the number their last eight games. So we'll see what happens in this game. But you look at these two teams when they played each other, 8 of the last 10 times when these two teams have met, there was some scoring in this game, guys, and it went sailing over.
Chuck Esposito's with us here on ESPN Las Vegas as we are live at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sports Bar, adjacent to what's going on the Strip with F1. I'll break in the NFL here. What are you guys doing in terms of booking F1? Do bettors have an interest in playing it?
But they really do, Steve. There's so many props on the app. I mean, I think it's there's you can bet from the drivers to the practice to there's the type of car that wins. There's just so many props on the board right now. We've increased the wagering menu the last couple of years. Had a huge handle on it last year, and my guess is we're going to see the same this year. Weather could impact it somewhat, but overall it's been received really, really well from our guests. And, of course, having the Treasure Island Sportsbook right on the Strip there, my guess is we're going to do a really good handle at the TI as well.
Colts and Chiefs, what do you want to do with or what are the bettors doing with Kansas City? I guess what do you want since you guys are looking for certain results? Chiefs are 3.
Yeah, I'm not sure who we're going to need in this game yet. Colts are 5-1 straight up their last six games. They have had some success against the Chiefs, going 14-5 against the number of their last 19 games. They're 15-4 straight up the last 19 games against Kansas City. And you look at the Chiefs, I mean, they've gone under 6 of the last 7 times that they've played the Colts. They're a very small favorite here, and they come into this game, guys, 17-1 straight up in their last 18 home games. For me, it's a much bigger game for the Chiefs. You look at the Chiefs, and where they sit right now, not a playoff team, at 5-5, still have some tough divisional games left, some tough conference games left. The Colts at 8-2, they're in a much better spot. This is a huge game for the Chiefs. Everybody talked about, and I know we did a few weeks ago, that we still all figure they were the same, the best team in the AFC, but they're not even a playoff team today. So this is a much bigger game for the Chiefs, but we have seen some sharp money show on the Colts.
Raiders are now 4 against Shedeur Sanders and the Browns.
Game opened up 2.5 about 10 days ago prior to last week's game. You're right, it's up to 4 right now. Looks like it could go higher. Ticket count right now does favor the Browns at 57%. And surprising enough, with both these two teams with only 2 wins, there's actually 62% of the tickets on the over. Last week we saw a lot more under tickets come up on the Cowboy game. Cleveland just 4-2 against the number, their last 16 games. They're 2-14 straight up. Their last 16 games, they're 1-4 against the number. The last five times they've played Vegas. But you look at the Raiders, 1-8 straight up their last nine games. They've gone under seven of their last nine games against Cleveland. And that is evident, guys, by a total of only 36 between the Browns and Raiders.
Chuck, if people open a new STN account, you still got the up to $50 on the No Worry Wager rolling, right?
We do, Steve. It's a great opportunity. We know everyone kind of gets busy this time of year and honey to-do lists and stuff going on. Get signed up for STN Sports. Up to a $50 wager, you win. Phenomenal. If you lose, we're going to give you that $50 back so you can play again. So really kind of a cool feature. Some great drink specials going on at a lot of our properties. $1.99 margaritas, $3 beers, $3 shots. We love it when everyone comes out and enjoys what we have to offer at all of our sports books industry-wide.
Eagles and Cowboys, where's all this Cowboys money coming from?
I don't know. I mean, it's a really, really good question. I'm not sure what people kind of see in the Cowboys. I know they're getting a little bit healthier. The Eagles seem to be a soap opera. But the game has come down from the Eagles juiced to kind of a flat three out there. You look at the Cowboys at 4-5-1. I still don't think they have it in them to make a playoff run. Eagles 8-2, really battling the Rams for maybe the number one seed in the NFC. And they beat the Rams once already. But only 57% of the tickets are on the Eagles in this game. So clearly some Cowboy love, not only from the Sharps, but actually from the public as well.
I think what they figured out is that to just get CeeDee Lamb drunk before the game and everything will be fine. So,
there you go.
I'm not going to touch that one, boys. I'm not going to touch
more
that
jokes.
One.
More jokes.
Atlanta at the Saints. Boy, we've had this conversation a couple times this year, Chuck, in terms of the Sharps hitting the Saints right when the line comes out because they know the public will fade them, but all of a sudden the Saints are a favorite.
Yeah, I think it's a product of as beat up as Atlanta is. We know it's no Penix. They've been beat up at some of the skill position players, and you're right, this game has gone up. We saw either Atlanta 1 or pick when we first put this game up. It's now 2. There was a couple of 2.5s, I think, that it actually picked up to as well, but it really looks like we're going to be huge Falcon fans, surprising enough, against the Saints that have 2 wins. We're going to be Falcon fans on Sunday.
What's the action right now with the Bucs and the Rams?
Well, it's actually pretty good two-way action, to be honest, guys. It ticked up a little bit at first at -6.5. I think we still might touch 7. I think there's some 7s out there industry-wide. But the ticket count isn't telling you that. It's about 60-40 right now in favor of the Rams. Bucs are so beat up. We thought maybe you'd get Bucky Irving back in this game. You're not going to. I would have thought, you know, a few weeks ago, this is going to be an easy win for the Bucs to win their division. But you have the Panthers 6-5. They still play them twice this year. So, for me, the big game for both these teams, especially for the Rams. We've got both the Niners and Seahawks right behind them. But a much bigger game for the Bucs, I think, is beat up as they have been and knowing the Panthers are right behind them.
Very deep college football slate, but one of the games that is a standout is USC, and you know, what can the Trojans do on the road here against Oregon, catching a big number?
Yeah, we know the last marquee game Oregon played at home was against Indiana, and they lost that game. Very uncharacteristic. They come in 8-2, the Trojans. Oregon 9-1. This game has ticked up a bit, so we've seen some money come in on the Ducks. Southern Cal's gone under 4 of their last 5 games. They're 9-2 straight up their last 11. However, only 3-6 against the number their last 9 games against the Ducks, and only 1-5 straight up their last 6 games against the Ducks. Oregon at home, really tough. 19-1 straight up their last 20 games.
Chuck, real quick, want to focus? Just switch the focus to college basketball. Obviously, there's always lines on all the games. College basketball attracts a lot of attention. Players era. Next week, we got some top-ranked women's teams. Will you have some action up? We got about 30 seconds left for the locals that are, or for the teams, for the player, people coming in to watch the teams in the local circuit.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a lot of the girls' games up so far this year, especially the games that involve teams in the top 20 or top 30. So we're always looking to expand our overall wagering menu, guys, and there will definitely be those games up next week.
Chuck, thank you. Have a good weekend. Good luck behind the counter. Let us win a little bit, please.
All right, guys. You too, man. Have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.
Maybe a couple F1 bets, right? $50 no-worry wager. They got it rolling right now at all the STN books, and especially down here at Treasure Island. We're at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. Another hour on the way. We're going to get a really good deep-dive preview of the Hawaii football team from Rich Miano along with Mark McMillan. Both of those guys played in the league, in the NFL. They played together.